The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's radio talk show brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report. This is similar to my newspaper article in the Philadelphia Public Record discussing many interesting topics about computer security. In the past, I spoke about the Chinese military attacks against the United States Internet concentrating on areas of military interest and of financial interest. I spoke about the Night Dragon attacks against our electrical system, where the Chinese military were able to download significant information about our electrical grid. Some people felt that our electrical grid was immune to cyber attack, but I never felt so. Now there's proof that someone can affect our electrical grid. In an article by Robert McMillan of the IDG News Service, security researcher Dylan Bredsford gave a demonstration of his ability to take over and control a Siemens S7 computer system. These computers are used to control turbines that make electricity in addition to control engines and other machines. Not only could these computers be used to disable the systems they control, but also they can be used to create physical damage to the systems, thereby requiring lengthy repairs. Mr. Bretsford is working with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the manufacturer in order to fix these problems. In general, it is true that complex systems will always have undetected problems. The problems that Mr. Bredsford detected will not be the last, and there's already been an example of hostile computer software causing problems at a Brazilian power plant in 2011. What this means to you is that our electrical grid can be damaged by a cyber attack, and anyone who says otherwise is ignoring the evidence. Our next story is about a threat that you may not even know exists. It's called history sniffing and has nothing to do with dusty museums. History sniffing is done by a website against your web browser. While many others and I consider it an invasion of privacy, other people point out that it's legal. A history sniffing website instructs your web browser to provide information about websites that you visited in the past. Often, these websites then use that information to target advertising to you or to just understand if you're visiting their competitors. If this is a major problem for you, just turn history tracking off in your web browser and then it won't exist to sniff. The most common use of the history feature is to change the color of web links that you already visited so that you know you were already there. If you want to keep that feature, but reduce the amount of history that can be sniffed, just reduce the amount of days of history the browser is permitted to keep. In the Firefox browser, select the tab called Firefox, click on Preferences, then select Privacy on the pop-up screen. You'll then be able to modify your history settings there. In the past, I thought that the Chinese military was attacking our military contractors primarily for information on how to eliminate our military during a conflict. My opinion was bolstered by the fact that China announced that they were building a missile capable of sinking U.S. aircraft carriers. That's easier to do if they understand how our aircraft carriers are built and how they defend themselves. I still think that's true, but now there's a second reason. China has confirmed that it is building its own first aircraft carrier. It's always easier to steal the information on how we build aircraft carriers than it is to invent it themselves. And wrapping up this week's segment of the Computer Crime Report, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guests on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, Tri-State's newest talk show. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Today, we have three guests. That's right, three guests. We have Fred Drewing Jr. He's a board member of the Pennsylvania Veteran Boxers Association, John DeSanto, founder of the website phillyboxinghistory.com, and John Gallagher, chairman of the Pennsylvania Boxing Hall of Fame. Listen, guys, I want to get you to each to introduce yourself. Fred, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been on a show before, but for those that didn't hear you before.
Thanks, Pete, and it's a pleasure to be back on Between the Minutes. Just a former boxer in Philadelphia, now currently, as you mentioned, on the board of the Pennsylvania Veteran Boxers Association. But real quickly, Pete, before we get started, since we're talking boxing today, I just want to make two acknowledgments in the boxing community that happened this week.
Sure, go ahead.
Opposite ends of the spectrum. On a sorrowful note, this week we lost boxing judge Robert Grasso from Philadelphia, longtime boxing referee in Philadelphia. So just want to acknowledge that our condolences go out to the Grasso family at this most difficult time. On the opposite end, on a very happy and positive note, congratulations have to go out to Jesse Hart from Philadelphia, who's the son of legendary middleweight Eugene Cyclone Hart, who won the U.S. Olympic trials in the 165-pound division. He still will have to qualify for the Olympics, but what that means is now he goes down to the World Championships, where the top 10 finishers in each weight class will qualify for the 2012 London Olympics. And anybody that's followed Jesse's career and followed that tournament and certainly the reports that I got from the USA Boxing Champ Trials, not only does it look like he has a great chance to qualify to make the 2012 London Olympics, it looks like not only do we have a great chance of having a Philadelphian represent us on the Olympic team, but possibly bring back gold as well. So certainly just want to send out a congratulations to Jesse Hart, continuing with the tradition of Philly boxing and making us all proud.
That sounds great. And the fact that there's going to be a local in the Olympics, wow. You know, that hasn't happened in a while, you know. Hey, John DeSanto.
Hey, I'm a lifelong boxing fan and decided several years ago to form the website Philly Boxing History and focus on not only all the great stuff that's happened in Philadelphia past, but also to cover the current scene. And so I do both and work on a number of outside projects. And the goal always is to remember and highlight and honor everything boxing in Philadelphia.
Great. And John Gallagher.
You introduced me as the chairman of the Pennsylvania Boxing Hall of Fame, but I'm really here today as one of the directors of the Harrogate Boxing Club.
Okay.
We've been in existence for 39 years in the Kensington section of Philadelphia. And the Irish boxing show that will take place in September in North Wildwood is actually between the Harrogate Boxing Club and the Holy Family Boxing Club of Belfast. So it's actually an international club event.
So the reason this is an Irish boxing event is because you're bringing people from Ireland.
That's exactly true. But it's also part of the Irish weekend in North Wildwood.
Okay, sure. I've been there for that. Where in North Wildwood is it going to be?
It's going to be at Spruce and Old New Jersey Avenue. They have put up a tent there. It's called the Official Irish Music Tent. It's right across from the, if you remember, old the old Moore's Inlet. It's right. It's actually in their parking lot. It holds about 700 or 800 people.
Okay. All right. Is there a website for that so people who are interested can go look at it, or how do they find out more from you?
Well, all the information about the show, how to get tickets and the address and everything about it, they can find on phillyboxinghistory.com. Just go to the main page and then click upcoming events.
So it's www.phillyboxinghistory.com.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, it'll be obvious how to find out about the Irish Boxing Weekend.
Yeah, just click the upcoming events link right on the front page, and then you'll see all the things that are coming up in the local boxing scene. And that's down on the list. It's September 22nd.
So this is going to be Philadelphia versus Belfast. Is that the idea?
It's actually the Harrogate Boxing Club versus the Holy Family Boxing Club. And, of course, Holy Family's from Belfast and Harrogate's from Philadelphia.
Okay.
We're not allowed to say USA versus Ireland.
Really? Why?
They're not national teams.
Oh, but I'm allowed to say it. I can say anything I want.
That's true.
All right. Philadelphia versus Belfast. Hey, do we have a bell? No bell sound? Okay. Ding.
Real quick, I just want to mention to your viewers, the history of the Holy Family Boxing Club. I'm sure a lot of your viewers have seen.
Well, we don't have viewers. All they can see is a radio.
Your listeners, I'm sorry. But I'm sure they've seen the famous Daniel Day-Lewis movie, The Boxer. And that particular movie was based on the real-life story, the Holy Family Boxing Club. So there's a lot of history with this club that's coming over from Belfast. So it's a very unique gym, very unique story. Speaking, the head coach there is Jerry Story, who's a legendary Irish boxing coach.
So if somebody wanted to see that movie and then go to the event, is there some place where they can usually catch that movie? Is it like available on DVD or something?
Oh, yes, it is. I'm not sure where you rent them anymore.
Well, I'm not sure where you rent anything. Yeah. Everything's on demand. But what's the name of the movie again?
The Boxer.
The Boxer.
The Boxer. Yeah. So, if you have on demand, you can probably type in The Boxer and you have a good chance of catching it, probably.
Yes. If you think about the history of Belfast in Northern Ireland, and then realize that Jerry Story, the coach of the Holy Family Boxing Club, allowed Protestant boxers to come into the gym. And when he brings teams over here, oftentimes there are both Catholic and Protestant boxers on the team. And it's a dangerous thing to do. I mean, but he's well-respected in both communities. He has quite a story himself, but I don't want to get too much into that.
Okay.
Great movie to see, though, The Boxer.
Okay. It sounds really interesting. And change the subject just a little bit, you have something coming up called a Thanksgiving Turkey Bowl. What's that?
It's the Thanksgiving Turkey Bowl. What that is...
it's brawl. Turkey brawl.
Yes.
Okay.
What that is, every year...
I hope you're not fighting turkeys.
We're not fighting turkeys.
Peter would get upset.
But actually, what that is, it's a number of et sponsors like myself. I will be competing in this year again as well. I did it last year. It's basically just a number of retired boxers come out of retirement for one night only, three-round exhibition bouts. And all the proceeds of that show go to Frank Kubek has established a scholarship program for the Front Street Gym. So basically, it's a chance for the fans to come out to see some of their old retired boxers who they haven't seen in years. Three-round exhibition, a lot of fun, and it raises a lot of money for the scholarship fund, which will help further the education of some of our new up-and-coming boxers. And like I said, it's we're three of us here are also members of the Pennsylvania Veteran Boxers Association. We really push that issue, education for the boxers. Boxing's a rough sport. A lot of boxers, they see the quick money when it comes, but then when it goes, they have nothing to fall back on. So I'm glad Mr. Kubek at the Front Street Gym has established this program. So, the boxers can have a good education, and if the boxing doesn't work out for them, they have something to fall back on. So I'm looking forward to it. It's always the Saturday before Thanksgiving. This year, it'll be Saturday, November 19th, right at the Front Street Gym. tickets. This is a $20 donation. And people can come in and, you know, have a lot of fun and see.
And how do they find out more? Is there, again, a website?
You know, you can actually, you can call the Front Street Gym itself. Their phone number is 215-634-7707. Again, it's 215-634-7707. You can call myself. My cell number is 215-221-2374. One of the things that I'm going to be helping Frank out with that program, in addition to the ticket sales, they're also going to be doing an ad book that evening for companies and businesses and just supporters of boxing. So I'm going to be helping him out with the ad book. Ads are $50. It's just a 8.5 by 11 page, $50. The Front Street Gym is also a nonprofit association. So somebody that would consider making a donation to this event can you know, actually write that off on their taxes or their business taxes. So,
sure.
You know, like I said, if anybody's interested in buying an ad for that program, feel free to give me a call. And it's it'll be distributed to everybody that attends the event that night. And also we take it out, give it to some of the different bots and gyms. We'll have it over at the VBA. So, you know, it's a good advertising opportunity for anybody that wishes to do so and also help out a great cause.
Freddie, last time you were here, you had one caller that stood out in my mind. I tend to remember the callers. A lot of people, for some reason, they're afraid to call into a live show, and you know, I don't understand why, but you had a caller. It was a young woman who was very interested in getting involved in boxing, and I just wanted to know what happened with her.
Yes, she did follow up. She happened to be from South Philadelphia, like I am, so I referred her to a local boxing gym, which is Joey Eyes Boxing Gym. I referred her over there, and as far as I know, she's still there, so maybe we have a future Golden Gloves champion, female Golden Gloves champion down the line.
That's really great. You know, John, can I ask a little bit about the Boxing Hall of Fame? What is it? Where is it?
Actually, the physical location is 2733 East Clearfield Street, which is also the home of the Veteran Boxers Association.
Here in Philly?
In Philadelphia, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been in existence since the 1960s, and each year former boxers or there are people in the deceased category and non-boxing categories also are inducted into the Hall of Fame for their contributions to boxing in the state of Pennsylvania.
Is there a museum? Can people go and look at pictures and gloves and stuff like that?
We have, right now, we have about 600 pictures up on the first floor, but we have a room on the second floor that we're going to dedicate to the Pennsylvania Boxing Hall of Fame, and we're going to concentrate primarily on the world champions from Pennsylvania, like Joey Giardello, Joe Frazier, and so on.
Wow.
Real quick, I'd like to acknowledge on that note that John Gallagher has mentioned. We were able to recently fix up that second floor based on a grant that we received from the state, which was the result of the sponsorship of State Representative John Taylor, who's been a longtime supporter of the Philadelphia boxing community.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, he's came through for us. I just wanted to acknowledge that as well.
Well, I learned a lot about boxing at the last show, and including the fact that it really is a life-enhancing sport, you know, and that just about anybody can get involved. And you were telling me, you know, how younger people were involved. I guess there's an age limit. I mean, before a certain age, you shouldn't be involved. After a certain age, I guess you're going to have to be more careful or something. I don't know, you know, but it was pretty interesting.
In Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to box competitively until you're at least 10 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I think it's 40, you have to get, there is actually a senior category, but you have to get brain scans and things like that.
Brain scans?
Yeah.
Jeez, is that to see if you're sane?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, now, John DeSanto, you've been awfully quiet here.
Well, I'm also involved with these guys in a lot of these events and different entities. I'm an active member of the Pennsylvania Boxing Hall of Fame, and you know, support it fully. You know, it's something that, you know, my whole perspective is, you know, I feel that these guys and everything that's going on in Philadelphia boxing is so important. You know, it's certainly not something that attracts everyone, but you know, you look at who these stories of these great fighters and not so great fighters, and they all have their story, and every one of them is really interesting. And you know, I've sort of dedicated my time to glorifying that and learning about it and putting it out there for people. And a lot of people are interested. You know, boxing is it used to be the biggest sport around. You know, it was up there with baseball, and it wasn't unusual for 50,000 people to go load into a ballpark and watch an important fight. Now, you know, promoters have to hustle to get 1,500 or 2,000 people to a fight.
But, well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. One of which is that people have the wrong concept of what boxing is. They think it's a blood sport, and you know, they think it's like, you know, going out and shooting foxes or something like that. Whereas it's really not a blood sport. It's an athletic sport where it takes skill, it takes training, a lot of training. And it's like skiing or anything else. Yeah, people get hurt. In fact, it's you know, in skiing, you might not get hurt. In boxing, you might not get hurt, although you're probably gonna get bruised up a little bit. But
yeah, I think you know, everybody who's a boxing fan, or at least with me, there's that moment when you're talking to someone and you say, "Oh, I'm a big boxing fan." And you get that look. You know, not everybody take to this sport. And there's a slight bit of there's just a little hint of embarrassment at times about being a boxing fan, or the need to kind of explain it, because people immediately go to the negative or the more serious.
All right.
The thing is, you cannot deny the danger, but that's part of the drama. I mean, it's part of the sport.
People get killed in downhill skiing. I mean, we lost a senator that way. He was downhill skiing and hit a tree, died on the spot. I mean, sports, there's a certain amount of risk. I mean, there's a certain amount of risk in crossing the street, you know, and I guess, you know, this is all part of the recognition of that. But I'd love to hear, what's your explanation to somebody when you say you're a boxing fan and they go, ew?
Well, I usually spend about 5 minutes apologizing first.
Well, then, skip the 5 minutes on apology.
You know, boxing is certainly a sport, but to me, it's much more than a sport, and the fighters are much more than athletes. They, you know, they put so much into it, and there's, you know, certainly there's the whole physical aspect and the training and the dedication, the life, you know, it's a lifestyle. But when they get in the ring, you know, it's so much more. It's very much a drama. You know, you know, I like other sports, but nothing has that immediate excitement or drama of boxing. And, you know, there's a lot of, you go to a lot of fights, you see a lot of bad fights. But, you know, it doesn't take much for a fight to sort of ignite into something that people really want to see. And there's an added element of being there live and watching it, you know, especially some of these, you know, small club shows around the city. You know, you're basically in a cult at that moment. You're sitting in a room and you're watching these guys, and TV's not there, newspapers don't cover it anymore, and you're there and you're watching it. And it's something really different and really special. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I'm sorry to see, you know, it's kind of a lack of coverage, because it's difficult for boxing to attract new fans. Guys like us, you know, we got hooked early. You know, I came up in the 70s, Muhammad Ali and Roberto Duran were fighting on TV. You know, it wasn't hard to be a boxing fan. Now, you know, the old guys kick around and they're the ones that people know about, but they don't get to see these young guys coming up and see this thing. One thing you're talking about the danger and the risk. I think one of the things that has hurt boxing recently, and you see the rise of this other kinds of sports like the mixed martial arts and UFC and things like that. I think boxing, because there's such an infusion of money, there's so much money to be made by a very few number of people, you know, the very elite fighters, it's become very safe in a way. And I think, you know, there's many big fights that are far tamer than any fight you might see, you know, at the old Blue Horizon or down at one of the South Philly clubs or something like that. I think in some ways it's ironic. Boxing has become too tame, and the promise of this tremendous excitement and violence of, you know, mixed martial arts is giving it a run for its money, because that has the promise of a lot more, you know, violence, action, et cetera. And so it's sort of interesting. Boxing gets that tag of being this dangerous sport. But I think one of the things that's hurt it is that it's turned into a science, especially at the top level when guys have – they're in one $20 million payday and they've got one on the horizon and they can't afford to take that risk. And
no,
boxing is very much about taking that risk, stepping in and doing what these guys do best.
So it's a business, and you know, you're not going to see somebody die in the ring unless, of course, there was something already wrong with them and they just had a heart attack or something like that. You know, Fred, last time you were on, you were mentioning that boxing has actually enhanced some people's life, that there were people who were kind of lost. They were on a road that was going to lead down, and boxing got them back on a road leading up. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yes, absolutely. And again, and I mentioned this last time I was on, you hear this story over and over. Individuals that were down and out or just leading that wrong path in life. Traditionally, a lot of boxers come from inner cities. Anytime you live in the inner city, you're exposed to a lot of bad elements of society. So I think one of the things, and I can speak definitely for myself, boxing has definitely given me it gives a self-confidence where, you don't give in to peer pressure. It makes you set goals. It makes you work hard for a goal, try to achieve something. But it definitely gives you that sense of self-confidence, self-esteem. And again, you hear the story where over and over so many young boxers started. They were going down that wrong path. Somebody brought them into a boxing gym. And, not only did they do something positive in the boxing arena, it changed their whole life outside of boxing as well. So there's definitely, like I said, a lot of positive things that boxing can do for you besides, fame and fortune, number of boxers get. But it also makes, I think, a lot of people better people inside.
And another thing, just to add to what Fred's saying, is that, just in general, when you're going through, your life, your day, you need a goal and you need hope. And boxing is such a perfect opportunity to exercise both of those things, because these young fighters go in there and they say, well, I don't know what kind of job I can get. I don't know if I can meet a nice girl. I don't know any of these things and make money. I'm going to focus on boxing and I'm going to give it everything I have and I'm going to move myself into that position. And that there's other things certainly can do that, but boxing is a great place to do that. And you talk to these young people and they have the dream. They have the dream because they have to. Imagine how hard it is to get in the ring. These guys know. I don't know. I'm always on the outside. But these guys know.
And I see John Gallagher is ready to say something.
Well, I've been involved with the Harrogate Boxing Club for 39 years. So I've seen many, many kids come to the gym. And out of every 10 kids who come into our gym to box, probably only one is ever really going to compete. But the other nine will always remember their experience just being in that gym.
They're going to get something out of it.
They're going to get something out of that. And they're going to leave there with confidence. And I think that's the word Fred used. And I think it's an important word, confidence. We have a lot of kids that come in that they're not sure of themselves. And by the time they've spent some time in a boxing gym, they leave there with confidence.
So, in a certain way, in the past, when people were kind of lost like that, one of the traditional outlets was they joined up the services. They went into the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, whatever, and they were broken down and built up and given self-discipline, self-respect, respect for others, and a set of skills. And then, when they mustered out, that went with them. And you're saying that this is sort of similar to that.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I like that. Yes.
I agree as well.
Yeah. That's really, really kind of interesting. Listen, do you think people have lost interest in boxing and why?
Well, I think the younger generation is turned on by this mixed martial arts business.
But isn't boxing just as interesting?
I think so. But there are boxing skills involved with mixed martial arts. We even find in the boxing gyms now, some of the competitors in mixed martial arts are coming to boxing gyms to develop, to master those skills that they can use in mixed martial arts. But I think what we're lacking right now is probably a charismatic champion. And I'm not sure when, you know, another Muhammad Ali is going to come along.
And boxing has, you know, boxing has a business problem. And that is that, you know, it's been around forever. And the top fighters, the really elite fighters, they're extremely well paid, you know. And it's only in this past 20, 25 years where it's gotten so high. The money that's involved in boxing is so high that, you know, national television can't support a live boxing show. You know, when I was growing up, Muhammad Ali, all the Larry Holmes, all the champions, they fought on national television on a Friday night or a Monday night, and a young fan could see some of these great fighters and get hooked. That's what happened to me. Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, every weekend there was boxing.
I think part of that, John, though, is there were only three or four channels back then. Now there's 400 channels.
Well, I think that's true. I do think that's true. But I think, like, one of the things that, you know, the mixed martial arts has really surged lately. And, you know, I'm not that familiar with it, but what they do, just like professional wrestling has done, is they really know how to market their product, and they do a lot for their fans. You know, my payback for being a loyal boxing fan is, you know, the pay-per-view price goes from 50 to 60 for a big fight, you know, so I'm willing. But the thing is that the guy who's just sniffing it out and wondering if, you know, boxing's for them, you know, they're not going to drop that kind of money just to watch it.
But they can drop into a club and see locals.
They could.
Probably just as interesting as seeing one of the guys at the top.
It is, but it doesn't have that. It doesn't really, the truth is it doesn't attract that many until you're really a fan. Mixed martial arts, they have contracts. You know, these guys, they make decent amount of money, but they are, in a sense, owned by the UFC, and they kind of match them and they put them in, and you know, they run a business. And once it's around long enough that the stars are so big that they can demand $20, $30, $40 million, it'll have all the same problems boxing does. I always say to UFC fans, hey, check back with me in 100 years and tell me, you know, where it is. Boxing's been around for 100 years.
We'll ask you in 100 years.
That's right. And 100 years from now, you know, we'll have the same conversations because it'll always be there.
Hey guys, are you tired of paying $60 a year for antivirus? Well, if you are, you have an opportunity right now, back to school sale at Cybersoft, www.cyber.com, to get 1 year license for Windows antivirus for $19.95. That's $19.95, www.cyber.com. You're listening to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our guests are Fred Drigg, John DeSanto, and John Gallagher. We're talking about boxing in Philadelphia and elsewhere, but, you know, Philadelphia. Listen, what can be done to bring people back into boxing?
Well, one of the things to touch on, it, I think, again, why it is hurting a little bit right now, a lack of gyms like there used to be in the city. I mean, there used to be multiple gyms in every neighborhood of the city, and just, unfortunately, over time, a number
of... But that's more a symptom of the problem than the cause of the problem.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I mean, last week when there was an article published about the... not only if the Blue Horizon has been closed, but that actually it's going to be demolished and building hotels and restaurants there. I mean, I literally almost cried because that's a landmark, not just for Philadelphia boxing, but around the country. You know, obviously not against gentrification or anything, but for that site, I mean, when the Blue Horizon goes, that takes a piece from every Philadelphia boxer. And in one way, shape, or form, it belongs to everybody in the Philadelphia boxing community. So that's just a great example. And that goes to, there's been a lack of shows in the Philadelphia area recently because of that. I mean, Joey I has been doing a great job. He's been running shows down at Chester in Harris. But as far as, you know, local shows, there hasn't been, you know, too many like we used to have. You used to have a choice of what show you were going to. Now it's you're just trying to find a show. So, you know, we have to get more activity, more promoters to come back and to invest in Philadelphia.
But you know, and back in the day, I mean, there was so much boxing and there were so many gyms. Everybody could fight, apparently, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Everybody was a fighter, and there were just so many shows, like they would have these clubs in every neighborhood. You know, if you're from South Philly, there might be two or three places you could go to see fights. Northeast Philly, everywhere. And there would be fights, you know, the famous Cambria, which is kind of up around near where the Veteran Boxers Club is. They had fights every Friday night. And it went from like 1912 into like the 1960s. And more or less every Friday night, you know, with a couple of like sort of dark periods, they ran fights. And there would be fights, you know, twice a week, three times a week. Christmas Day, there would be a fight in the morning, you know, in South Philly, and a fight in the evening, you know, up at the Cambria. And it was just, you know, imagine a promoter trying to, you know, they worry about summertime, people are down the shore. You know, back then it didn't matter. People just crowded into the arenas and the clubs to see fights.
Yeah. John, I got a question for you. Are you guys, for your museum, are you going to be able to get anything from the Blue Horizon to put in a museum, or it's just going to go?
We hadn't really thought about it. I think we have more memorabilia than the Blue Horizon did. But it might be interesting maybe to get a chair from here or something.
There, you know, the place itself, you know, was a great, I hate to talk about it in the past tense, but here I go. You know, it's such a great place to see a fight, and it is legendary. It started in 1961, so that's a long time for us. But everything about it, you know, you could grab a, you know, I used to say, go in the men's room, you see more history in there. Like this place was a relic, you know. But you know, everything about it, the lights and everything, was just great about the Blue Horizon. But think about it. It's the latest casualty, and it's the one that hits us. You know, Joe Frazier's gym closed a couple of years ago, and that was a, you know, for someone, you know, in my age group, that's, you know, it seems impossible. But the Blue Horizon is just the latest one, and think about it, all these places are gone. You know, they're all going, and you know, so it would be nice to, you know, maintain it, capture as much as possible from the place.
Cause actually, the Harrogate Boxing Club is the longest existing gym in the city with the same name.
Right.
And the Front Street gym, it has had three or four different names, but it's not even on Front Street anymore. but the clubs it's hard to maintain a club because generally an amateur club, you can't charge a lot of dues because kids don't have it. And you don't want to scare them away with the dues. Everybody's a volunteer. No trainer at Harrogate has ever been paid for working with kids in a 39-year history. And it's hard. It's difficult on the young trainers, too, who are married, because you have to be there every night. If you're going to work with kids in boxing, you have to be there at least five nights a week. And sometimes, you know, if you have a family, that doesn't go over well with your wife.
But that's like anything else. I mean, if you're involved with the Mummers, exactly. I mean, you're going to be there five nights a week.
And you're gonna
spend a lot of money if you're making a costume.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm just saying what some of the hardships are in maintaining a gym. Fortunately, we own our gym. We don't have to pay a mortgage or rent, and we also have a real estate tax exemption because we're 501c3. So we're lucky.
Well, now you guys have all kind of said about the negative, about the sports kind of winding down, except at the very top where there's big money involved. And, you know, you've said things like that, but what are the positives? I mean, there's, you guys wouldn't be there at all if there wasn't positives. It's what keeps you going while you're seeing your favorite sport kind of in limbo?
Well, from the gym side of it, I mean, you're still, whoever comes in your gym, you can see them develop, their character develop, their confidence, as we said earlier, their independence. So you have that feedback from them. But on the professional level, I think one of the issues we need to do, in our gym, we have a fighter, Danny Garcia. I think Danny's 22-0 now.
21-0.
But only a few of his fights have been in Philadelphia. In past, Danny would be a neighborhood hero, and maybe he is in his neighborhood, but I think more so because everybody would have seen all of his fights. Instead, he's been fighting in Las Vegas, and he's had a very, very nice career, but I don't know that he's captured that neighborhood support yet. For example, if he were to fight at a place like the Blue Horizon, would he fill the place in the past? You know, Cyclone Hart was fighting at the Blue Horizon. You knew it was a sellout. So I think that what happens is when these kids are really good in the amateurs, they get signed by promoters who then build up their career, which is fine, build up their record, but they're not fighting in their hometowns. And I think the hometowns suffer as a result of it. And I think that's something that they should take into consideration.
What's the role of the media in all this?
You know, I think that's a big part of it. The media, as a general rule these days, does not cover boxing. You know, if something crazy happens, they're all over it. You know, when Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear, boxing was big again. Just a couple of years ago, there was a ring fatality at the Blue Horizon. A guy named Teon Kennedy, who's fighting this Saturday, fought Francisco Rodriguez from Chicago, and unfortunately Rodriguez passed away as a result of injury in the fight. It was a tragic event. You know, I'm a guy who's out there plugging around trying to do a lot of things to highlight boxing, and you know, I do events and I do you know, different things like that. And you know, I have to hustle to get some media attention, to get, you know, people out to these things. And you know, like I do the Briscoe Awards, which I will fight as long as I can to keep that a free event, so that everybody can come. All the family members of the fighter who win the awards could come, and all the kids in the gyms. I don't want to charge, you know, money for it. So you know, it's hard for me to get you know, attention. And then suddenly, something bad happens in boxing and my phone's ringing off the hook. You know, I get, you know, 200 emails, people who want me to come on TV or want me to be interviewed for this. And it's because the only story people have is, you know, how to do a hatchet job on boxing. Here's the negative. And, you know, there's more to it than that. It's just that, you know, that's kind of the story of boxing now, is to focus on the negative. And that's, but not, certainly not the guys like us who, you know, love it as much as we do.
Yeah. Well, I guess part of it is you have an educational problem that you're going to have to solve. I mean, I don't know if you guys realize it, but the last time Maria Quiñones Sanchez was on the show, she was talking about the fact that there's going to be public access channels here in the Philadelphia area now on cable. You know, I think she said it was three channels or something like that. You guys should be petitioning to get on one of those and have a regular show. Explain that this is an Olympic sport. Explain that it's a sport like any other sport. Yeah, people get hurt. Not always. It's like any other sport.
No, I agree. And just to want to echo on what both Johns had said about, I think part of the reason too, we don't have that local feeling anymore in boxing. I remember, you know, my days of going to the Blue Horizon when you had Anthony Boyle from Kensington fighting a Frankie Mitchell from South Philly, or it, you know, it was always you know, a particular boxer from this part of the city versus that part of the city. You know, there was a city rivalry, but that made the city boxing thrive. You know, now it's, you know,
somebody, it gave you a reason to cheer for somebody. Yeah, you know, he's from my neighborhood.
Yeah, you had both neighborhoods, you know, wherever they were from, cheering against each other. But when the fight was over, everybody was, we were together as one, as in Philadelphia boxing respected the Philadelphia fighters for, you know, what they've done. I mean, now, you know, you have guys flying in, or, you know, and John DeSanto put this on his website. I mean, we have Steve Cunningham, you know, tremendous, the cruiserweight champion of the world, you know, not just a great fighter, but just, you know, a great role model and a great person. All of his fights are over in Europe. You know, they're taking him over there because, you know, unfortunately, it seems that he's more well-known in Europe than he is in this city, and that should not be the case. I mean, not only is that guy a you know, great champion, you know, he's a role model. He's a clean-cut person, lives a great lifestyle, former Navy person. I mean, what more do you need to market somebody than that? And world champion. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess boxing is still popular in Europe, whereas it's kind of in limbo right here. But, you know, maybe you guys can reignite it. You know, like I said, try to get on at the public access with a regular show. Try to set up internet radio for yourself, or even internet TV. You know, these days it costs very little for you to set up your own internet TV show. Where, you know, you record a boxing match, edit it down, put it on there for people to see. It's another resource where people can get to learn about what you're all about. And, you know, they can understand that this is a lifestyle that's a positive lifestyle. It's not a negative lifestyle. I think a lot of people probably think of this as a negative thing because, you know, well, oh, they're fighting. We don't want people to fight. I mean, you're not even allowed to bring toy guns out anymore. So, I mean, if you're not allowed to bring out a toy gun, what do people think about when they're talking about actually going into a ring and fighting another person? It's probably, you know, kind of wimped out a bit, you know?
Right. Like, you know, people, you can say that people, you know, they do say, oh, I don't want to watch a fight. But then they'll go to the most violent or thrilling movies out there. I mean, I don't buy it. I mean, people want to see these things, and it's not, you know, there's a sense that it is a blood sport, but that's, you know, not in a bad way. And, you know, the thing is that there's it's just a very dramatic, exciting thing, and we're drawn to it. And, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, when you look at the history, these conversations happen in every era. You know, in the 50s, they said, you know, it wasn't as good as it used to be. So we're always talking about boxing this way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Townwatch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Oh, you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net, and we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us at Philadelphia Town Watch Integrated Services.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti, and we're talking about the sport of boxing. Fred.
Real quick, Peter, just to update your listeners, the last time we talked about the Joey Girardella statue, and just to let your listeners know, it's complete and it's up. It's at the intersection of Mifflin 13th and Passyunk. It's the first statue of a real life boxer in Philadelphia. You know, like I said, we said it last time, we love the Rocky statue, but this is a real life boxer. All three of us here sat on that committee. That project is done, it's up, and you know, we've been talking about some negative things about it, and that's a very, very positive thing. Close to 500 people came out that day when we dedicated the statue. Mrs. Girardella was there to remove the draping, and it was just a great deal.
Sounds exciting.
So that's a positive thing.
Now, this show actually is heard in 5 states. So are there photos on the website?
Yeah, you can go to phillyboxinghistory.com and see about it. But we also have joeygiardello.net, which is dedicated to the statue.
Okay. John Gallagher.
I want to remind everybody that the kickoff, the Irish weekend in North Wildwood this year, is on Thursday, September 22nd at 7:30 p.m. It's the Harrogate Boxing Club versus the Holy Family Boxing Club from Belfast. The tent is located at Spruce and Old New Jersey Avenue. It's actually the official Irish music tent. And advance tickets are only $25. If you wait until that night, you're going to pay $30 at the door. So give us a call and we'll arrange to get tickets to you.
Great. All right. And John DeSanto.
Hey, just wanted to tell everyone that every year my website, Philly Boxing History, gives away the Briscoe Award. We name this award after the great middleweight from Philadelphia, Benny Briscoe, who passed away last December. So this year's a sort of a even more special year. But we give away the award for the Philly Fighter of the Year and the Philly Fight of the Year. And this is for 2010. And the 2010 Philly Fighter of the Year is, Fred mentioned him earlier, cruiserweight champ Steve Cunningham, who regained his title last year. And the Philly Fight of the Year was one of those old-fashioned Philly versus Philly fights. Derek Ennis from Germantown against Gabriel Rosado from North Philly. They fought in South Philly last July, and it was a fantastic fight. Ennis won a 12-round decision. So those three guys will all receive the Briscoe Award, which is a trophy, a statue of Benny Briscoe, personalized for them. And we do this every year, and we're going to do that in October.
Wow. Is there some place where they can go to actually see the awards being given?
Well, they can go to the Veteran Boxers Association Clubhouse on October 10th. That's when we're going to do the show. It's on a Monday night, and it's really just a party. So,
and where's that at?
That is up in the Port Richmond section, 2733 East Clearfield. But they can go to phillyboxinghistory.com or briscoeawards.com for more info.
Wow, that sounds pretty interesting. Now, I want to hear just a little bit from each of you on, like I said, this show is heard in 5 states, all right? So there's people listening right now who their eyes are opening about boxing, and you have a chance to influence them. You have, just a couple sentences that you can say to really drive the point home that this is a sport like any other sport. Fred, let's start with you.
Well, that's pretty simple. To sum it up, you'll never, I don't care, not that there's not great stories in other sports. You'll never hear the human interest stories, the turnarounds. People that came from diversity and achieved total success more than in boxing. It's discipline, it's self confidence, and it's definitely whether a young fighter would choose to compete or not. Just getting involved in the boxing game will help them in other aspects of their life. I say that over and over, and I stand by that.
Mr. Gallagher.
In each of those, your 5 states where this show is being heard, there is a local boxing association. Get out and support the amateur boxing shows that do take place within driving distance of wherever you are in those 5 states.
And finally, John DeSanto.
Boxing is the best sport out there. There's no question in my mind. And the thing is that if you get involved in understanding who these players are, who the fighters are, and you watch them fight, you're invested. And, football's great, but if the team loses, they go away as a team and they lose. When a boxer goes into the ring, he puts everything on the line, hopes and dreams, and if he doesn't pull it off, he's got a bad night and a bad week ahead of him because he's going to just look at himself. And it's so interesting and dramatic, and people like us who love boxing really care about the fighters and really care about that drama that plays out in the ring.
And a lot of the personal flavor of these individuals is on your website of phillyboxinghistory.com?
Definitely. I focus on the fighters of the past, but also the current scene.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, all of you. It's been a really interesting show, and I'm sure people are enjoying it.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM next week.